Hi. She really had to go and make me all teary-eyed with that story. I love service week. Okay, so I want to open with a little kind of allegorical story that I wrote. It's short, I promise. Once upon a time, there were four neighboring kingdoms. Each had their own ruler who watched over them. The first ruler was named Pax. Pax ruled her kingdom with her heart. She loved her people dearly, and for that reason, half of each year, she lived in her castle, and the other, she lived in the poorest village. Next to the kingdom of Pax was the kingdom of Iris. Iris ruled his kingdom with discipline. His subjects were held to the highest standards of all the people of the four kingdoms. Along with serving as ruler, Iris was the kingdom's judge. Next to Iris was Medicus. Medicus did not rule a kingdom, but rather a household. He had land, which he used to house the outcasts. The people thrown away from Iris for their impurity came to Medicus. He cared for the lowest of people. When people from Iris's kingdom had their hand cut off for stealing or their tongue cut out for lying, they came to Medicus and he healed them himself. Finally, along Medicus was Electi. Electi also ran only a household, but not because she could not afford to house more. Electi had a beautiful palace with gold and silver and endless food, but almost no one ever got to see it. Electi reserved her house for only the most impressive people. Only the wealthy, healthy, and pure could live with Electi. Okay, so good morning. For those of you who don't know or didn't figure it out, my name is Megan Esch. When I decided to do a sermon, I had no idea what I was going to talk about. I just knew that I wanted to get up here and share some part of my story. And I was actually really glad that this church is more organized than I am. And they were like, oh, we have a topic for you. We do like little segments. I was like, oh, good. So our theme is, who do you say that I am? And so that quote, as far as I know, because it's where I found it, comes from Matthew 16, when Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus is like, okay, let me try again. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. I believe that the most important part of this verse is not necessarily the response or who Simon Peter says that Jesus is, but more that Jesus kind of dismissed the who do other people say that the Son of God is. He's like, okay, that's not actually relevant. It's who do you say that I am? And I think that's something that I've also, along with Amanda, I loved her little intro to this, is it's something that I've thought about a lot and kind of struggled with a lot. And so look back to my story. I feel like a lot of you, I was reading the story and you were like, oh, Pax is the figure of God in the beginning. It's like, that's the God character in the story. And then I went on and it gets a little bit more confusing because you go, wait, is Pax the figure of God? Or is it Iris? Or is it Medicus? Or is it Electi? And you're like, huh, which one? So I think that, like, it's a question we get asked a lot, is who is God? And I remember I was little. I don't know how little I was, but, like, I remember distinctly in Sunday school one day, they had us, like, draw what we thought God looked like. And so here's, like, my Sunday school teacher is, like, all, like, very much Bible and, like, very much, all right, Megan, what does God look like to you? And I come here with my terrible, I can't draw at all. And I go, a dog. Okay, so that like actually happened. Like I definitely drew like a dog. But it's something that I've actually resonated a lot with since then, and I probably wrote it at that point just because I love dogs. Like, favorite animal, they're so great. And it was before I had a dog. But like the more I look into it, the more of like a reasonable comparison it is to me. One of the most famous Bible verses that people use all the time is Psalm 23, and it's, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. So I like, love dogs, like a lot. And I remember one of the times that I used to explain my love for dogs is math class in third grade. We had these little sheets and it would be like, Sally had 32 blanks, and then you fill in the blanks so that you can do the math equation. And it's like, Sally had 32 blanks and she gave half of her blanks to Billy. And I would always fill it in with dogs. So it's like, Chris had 123 dogs. And her mom had one dog. Chris gave half of her dogs, half of 123, think that through, half of her dogs to her mom for Mother's Day. By the way, happy Mother's Day. And I just want to say my mom and my grandma are both here. And I know there are a lot of moms and a lot of grandmas here. And can we just give them a round of applause, guys? I just feel like our church doesn't clap enough. And like, that's something that deserves applause, is just being a mother, and being there. So along with the story of the math, my dogs was my answer for everything. We had a bunch of dog books in my house. My sister especially, she like read all the like how to raise a dog. Like, we did not have a dog. And then I remember at the end of third grade, we were doing like reflections or something. I don't remember. And my teacher, I love this teacher, but she came up to my mom and she just goes, you need to get this girl a dog. And I kind of, looking back, that's like, goes right along with like the comparison there. This teacher goes to my mom, she goes, your child needs Jesus. That's what she was saying. And I just, looking back now, it's like, it works out so well with my experience. And I thought of that for a while. I thought of this as my image of God is like, I don't know if you see here, I have little sheep. That one's me. And it's like, he leads us, he protects us. I suggested the verse that Sophie read about how my sheep will respond to my voice and they know who I am. And that like goes along really well with, we see God as a shepherd, old English shepherd. And I stuck with that for a while, but I realized that that wasn't quite deep enough for me. That gave him a physical image and some comparisons, but I mean, he's not a dog. And so I wanted to look a little bit deeper. And I consider myself a feminist, and I saw a bunch of stuff about the idea of God as a woman. And I really, really love that idea because it fits the like idea of God being so loving and taking care of each of us and creating us. Psalm 139:13, for you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. And I really like that. And also like God being like the first mother to Adam and Eve, or like the mother and the father, since there's not someone else up there. And I really like that, but it wasn't quite exactly what I was looking for either, the image I was completely looking for. So, but on that note, I do want to say, something that clarified that for me was, so I'm a sophomore at Lancaster Mennonite High School, if you guys don't know, and so I'm in a Bible class, and almost every Friday in that Bible class, we watch bits of a movie. Usually they're Bible-related. Right now we're watching Les Mis, but that's not the point. So we watched this movie called The Shack. Probably some of you have heard of it, or at least read the book. And I wish I had read the book before watching the movie, but it wasn't an option. And one of the things that I really loved about The Shack was that it was a man who didn't have a great relationship with God because he associated God with his father, who had abused him as a child. And he gets the experience of meeting God. And this, so he meets the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as three individual people in a shack in the woods, which is why it's called the shack. And when he gets there, he's ready. He's not ready for God. He doesn't know what he thinks of God because he's never considered it. And he gets there, and the God that he sees is this totally, like, sweet-looking, caring-looking, motherly black woman. And he just, it takes him a while to even figure out it is God. Like, she keeps talking about, like, how she knows him. She's watched him grow up, and, like, he finds out that the other guy is Jesus and one's the Holy Spirit, and he's like, wait, you're God? And I think it's really cool that that can be the way that some people see God if a fatherly figure doesn't work out for them. Or if they just don't want that, if you don't need another fatherly figure, if you don't need another man, there's always the option of seeing God as a woman because no one has ever actually told us his gender. And, like, we don't know. Like, God is not a human. So God doesn't have to have a set gender. Not that humans do. I'm putting that out there. So kind of what I moved to with this is that, like, I've seen God a lot of different ways, and I don't think it's necessarily an issue that I haven't landed on one way, because there's no way for me to know that. And there's no way to confirm that there is one way God is supposed to be seen. That if you need God to be a dog, God can be a dog. If you need God to be a strong fatherly figure, God can be a strong fatherly figure. If you need God to be a strong motherly figure, that's what she'll be. And I really like that. I didn't actually time this when I was writing it, so I have no idea how long this has been or how long it's going to be. But I have a little introduction and then a prayer that I want to say. So I want to talk a little bit about where I am with God right now. I've been writing this sermon for the past couple of weeks, maybe over a month, I'm not really sure. And I was struggling because with my little allegorical story, I wasn't really sure if I saw God as Pax, Iris, Medicus, or Electi. Probably not Electi. But I was talking to Amanda, when, I guess it was after Christian Ed last Sunday, and I told her about the sheepdog thing, and she was like, okay, that's good. And then at the end, you can say what you think of God is now. And I was like, yeah, I can do that. Yes. And then a lot of things happened for me this week. Not for me, actually. For people around me that have impacted my life a lot. And I think impacted my view of God a lot, too. Oh, no. I can't read. So there's a lot of stuff in life that I can't control and that people around me can't control. And that's really hard for me because I'm a bit of a perfectionist. And I was talking to my mom about it, and I was crying a lot like this, but a lot worse. And she gave me some really, really good advice. And for some reason, me here writing my sermon, going to Bible class, didn't think of it, was to pray. She told me, it helps a lot. You don't think it's going to, but it does. And it does. So can everybody please bow their heads? Dear Heavenly Father, Mother, Peacemaker, Protector, Healer, Friend, dear Allah, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you for the wonderful world you have created and all of the amazing people you have put in it and in my life. And thank you for putting me in their lives. I know that you do not like to see them struggle any more than I do, which is why I'm so glad you have sent me here to be here for them. I want to pray for the people out there that feel like they don't have anything figured out yet. I know that you, God, will show them yourself in a way that they see you how they need you. I pray for everyone here today, for the people who connected with this sermon, the people who really didn't connect but stayed anyway, and the people who got dragged here by their families and didn't even listen. Thank you for everything. You have given me so much, and you helped me to be able to spread your love in a way that portrays you as wonderful as you are. May you always be with us in every single way that we need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.